Pittsburgh Penguins were back on top for the first time since the start of the season, and the Capitals retake the lead. But all seems right in the world when the Capitals and the Penguins are fighting for the top spot in the Metro Division. Welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul, co-host Justin Baker. Say hi to everybody, Justin.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
That is so creepy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is creepy. That's what we're going for here, actually.
Yes.
This is the creepy hockey talk.
Thank you.
This is, everybody's been giving me feedback saying, you know, there isn't a hockey talk show where the two guys, at least one of them, is extremely creepy and borderline just over the top.
Nothing says let's enjoy some hockey like feeling uncomfortable the whole entire time. So give the people what they want.
Yeah. Hey. We're not actually going to be weird. Okay. So Pittsburgh. Let's talk about them to start the show. Then, of course, we'll hit rumors. We have to talk Leafs Red Wings just because that's our teams. They played on Sunday night, and just so you know, we're recording this on Monday, February the 19th, so Monday evening. So we have been witnesses to the three games that were played on President's Day, but both of us had to work today.
So this is true.
The presidents being born or being who they were really didn't do much for us. In terms of work,
I suppose didn't do much for us.
I suppose they did something for us in the past, but the Penguins. You know, Matt Murray has been very good since. It was kind of like start of February ish
after the All-Star game.
He really turned it on, and I think it bodes well for the Penguins.
Yeah,
I think that really we saw it in 2016, when everybody thought that they were down and out. Crosby was, at the end of his rope. He wasn't going to be the best player in the world anymore. And they at that point, that was when they fired their coach and they went a different direction. Of course, the rest is history, two Stanley Cups later. This is right about that time when people started to kind of go, Pittsburgh's good still. They probably will be in the playoffs. But, I mean, are they really the team that won the cup last year? And I think you're starting to see once again they're peaking at the right time. They know exactly what they're doing. The beginning of the season, it just means nothing to them at this point. And away we go. Crosby, Malkin, the whole bunch, all looking real good. And of course, Matt Murray is. I wouldn't say that Matt Murray's been lights out like a Frederick Anderson type.
Ooh.
But he's been more than good enough to at least help the Penguins to win.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt either. Tristan Jarry is actually playing really good as well. He's rocking a 921 save percentage right
now.
So.
Yeah, it changes the game when you have a backup goalie who can. I think we talked about it really early in the season that the sweet spot number for your team in regards to the backup goalie is like 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get 16 points from your backup goalie, then you're probably in real good shape.
He's got 10 wins, so.
Yeah, 10 wins. Well, there's your 20 points. Now, I guess you'd say Murray was injured, so I don't know if that's the same. Murray was injured.
Yeah, he was.
So I don't know if that's the same type of number since he was getting like essentially a starting role. But, yeah, it does make a huge difference if your goalie can go down and you're still good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at this point, too, it – with being so close to the deadline, having confidence in both of your goaltenders can basically, as the Pittsburgh Penguins, you can say, hey, we don't have to worry about this position. We don't have to go and try to find a backup goaltender, someone to be serviceable in case, again, Murray goes and gets injured, or right, maybe he has a slump. Now you can focus in on maybe picking up that third line winger that you're looking for, or maybe that depth centerman to help them out in that 3-4 slot. So now Pittsburgh has options. They can go out and look elsewhere for other things and take their mind off this.
Right. Just when you thought they needed the third line center, Riley Sheahan goes and scores two goals.
Yes.
Against the Leafs there. So thanks a lot, Riley. You finally find the back of the net. And it has to be against the Leafs. Or was it against Columbus? It was the Columbus game, I think.
Actually. It doesn't matter. He found the back of the net. That's all.
Yes,
that
twice in the same game, which it seems like he either has nothing or two.
That's true.
That was the last game of the season, right? He scored two goals in it. Mm-hmm. Would have been better if he had a hat trick, but. So it's funny because earlier in the morning we had actually talked and said, let's talk about how Anaheim's back in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And since that point, the Flames actually lost in overtime, so they bump ahead of the Anaheim Ducks based on more regulation overtime wins.
Yeah,
three
and
more than them. So
Minnesota won this afternoon too, so that bumped them out of a wild card spot.
Yeah. So LA falls further down. They're now 4 points out of a spot. Colorado 5 points, and then of course Chicago 13 points out. They have to be sellers, and I'm wondering. I mean, they already sold the defenseman to Washington,
Kempney. Yep.
So that was for a conditional third round pick. I'm not sure the conditions on it, but probably
going to the conference finals or something.
Yeah, or re-sign him after the deal or something.
Play so many games, those type of things.
Right. So really, when you look at it, you've got Colorado, LA, Anaheim, Minnesota, Calgary, all competing for two spots. St. Louis is only 3 points in the playoffs right now. You know, they could still be jumped, but I would say that they're more safe than, say, a Calgary.
Yeah,
or Minnesota. Yeah, I think there's enough space there. It's really a lot of teams fighting for that bottom spot in the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of open it up into the wild card. So, I mean, really, the most impressive move, I think, has been Dallas. Dallas is, you know, at one point, they were out of the playoffs, and they slowly clawed their way back into a wild card spot. They really secured a wild card spot, and now they're just chipping away at Nashville and Winnipeg. I don't think they'll catch them, but man, Dallas, it's funny. Is it actually detrimental to them that if they finish third in that division, they have to play Nashville or Winnipeg? But if they finish in the first wild card spot, then they would probably get to play Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Which Vegas has been good, but I think I'd much rather play Vegas than I would want to play Nashville or Winnipeg, just based on playoff experience and... Oh, Marc-Andre Fleury. It truly is mind-boggling. 22-4-2 is the Vegas Golden Knights' home record.
That's insane.
Now, I am curious. What is happening to those teams when they go there? truly, 22-4-2 is the best home record in the league. The only other team that really comes close is the Jets, who are 23-5-2, which that's maybe the most unique arena in the league, where it's, I think there's only, what, like 13,000 seats or something?
Yeah.
So you really, I think it's a lot louder. I think it's just different to play there. So they're a really good team, but 22-4-2. So it's 17-11-2 on the road. I mean, they're good on the road, but they're not lights out like they are at home.
Right.
What is happening to teams when they go into Vegas?
I think players just get caught up, like, the awe and wonderment of being in Vegas. And you often wonder, like, are they going out at night, partying a little bit? Taking the sauce back and not being able to sauce it in the game? I mean...
Yeah, maybe the Golden Knights are, hey, we'll send you out on our dime. Go for it, right? No, it's... Yeah, it truly is remarkable what they've been able to do and just continue to do. I mean, they're 7-3 in their last 10. And they won their last three in a row.
Yeah. So here's some food for thought, too. So when you go visit a team right on the road, you get put up in a nice hotel, usually within like a 10-minute drive of the arena, right? You think most of the hotels within the vicinity of the arena are attached to casinos.
Sure.
Do you think players sneak out at night and be like, I'll go play a few hands of blackjack and hit the slots up a little bit?
I don't really think that there's a sneaking out anymore. Like, I don't think that it's like 1960s, like you're locked in a motel and the coach does his rounds. I don't think that it's like that anymore. But I mean, I would think that it's a factor. There has to be something going on. I would also be curious as to what teams' records are the game after they play Vegas in Vegas.
That would be interesting.
That's a project for next show.
Yeah, really.
See if there's any correlation. Should we talk some rumors? I mean, there's just
let's
tons going on. Max Pacioretty to the Blues is one that's just everywhere. And when I think of the Blues, there were some people in the beginning of the season that were talking about how the Blues were the best team in the West. There were other people that said they missed the playoffs. I think I fell somewhere in the middle of, I think they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be great. And they looked great in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And
that top line was rolling.
Right. So the player, surprisingly enough, who was thrown out there as the potential piece, one of the pieces for Pacioretty,
mm-hmm.
was Jaden Schwartz.
That does not shock me at all. And I say that only because if you got a team with two top-end snipers on it, right? You got Jaden Schwartz and Tarasenko. You've got Tarasenko locked up for a long time at a reasonable price now, too, at $7.5 million.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to keep him around versus, I mean, Jaden Schwartz, even though, to me, I think his all-around game is a lot better than Tarasenko's. But Tarasenko's proven to put it in the back of the net, and he stays
healthy.
Why
can't you keep both of them?
That's another good question, too. Why not? But maybe you're trying to mix it up a little bit to add a... Because with Pacioretty, you're getting a guy who's proven he can score 30 goals, but maybe you're looking for a guy with a little edge to his game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that makes too much sense to me. I think it's such a lateral move.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Does it feel like a lateral move?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Unless Moore was coming back, you know, I don't know. Drouin or something, you know, why they're not going to give up Drouin straight up. But the
Canadians don't have much more to give up.
Pacioretty and Galchenyuk for Schwartz and
Fabry, maybe.
Wouldn't you just look at that and go, isn't that such a huge risk in a season when you may have the West is pretty wide open?
That's true. And Jaden Schwartz actually is the only top end player on that team with a point per game or more right now. So. There's something to be said for that, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that Pacioretty, the other question is he still worth what maybe he was worth 2-3 years ago? I don't think so. Personally, if I'm a team and they're asking me for, they're probably, you know, what, a first, a prospect, and a roster player, maybe more. I mean, Pacioretty and Hamonic have to be along the same lines, right? Both very affordable, both solid, top six, that kind of player, top four D-man. Well, at least that was how Hamonic was thought of.
Right.
And I just don't really see how, what did they give up? Two firsts and a second? Or was it something like that? A first and a second?
First and a second. But first the thing and a third. With, like, okay, so for instance, Pacioretty is, would you put him along the same lines as a Rick Nash or a Evander Kane right now? Or do you think he's a notch above those two?
You know, coming into the season, I would have said he's a notch above the two.
Okay.
However, Evander Kane, he looked like he was going to score 30 goals.
Yeah.
I think that it's probably just depressing playing on the Sabres. Like, early on in the season, when you look at things and you still have a shot, I think you're playing at a different level. And once you're eliminated and all you have to play for is just, well, looking forward to getting traded, like... That's it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. But for me, the thing, looking at this trade piece, so Buffalo's come out and said that they want a first rounder, a prospect, and another pick. So they want three pieces, and so has the Rangers about Rick Nash. So you got to think for a guy like Pacioretty, who's got another year at $4.5 million, they're going to want a little more.
Yeah.
So to me, is it worth it at this point? Probably not. But, yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of goalies who are on the trading block. Actually, probably more so than any trade deadline is their legitimate needs at the goaltending position, where injury actually isn't much of a factor. It's just a pure need of a goalie. And I think that you may see more goalies get moved. We saw Ben Bishop get moved last year at the deadline. I think
for a fifth rounder.
I think that was it. Yeah, it was really for nothing. I think the cost of a goalie should be higher at this deadline. So let's rattle off a few goalies that are available.
Yeah. So Peter Mrazek,
of course,
comes to mind. Maybe not so much anymore, but before we recorded the show this morning, Robin Lehner was a big one on the team, but now he's injured, so his name might cool off a little bit. A guy maybe like Aaron Dell from San Jose. You could even throw Thomas Greiss or one of the Islander goalies in the mix, because as far as I'm concerned, the Islanders probably don't want either at this point.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, they can't, it's sadly, but they can't afford to lose either. You know?
True, unless they bring something back.
Right. Now, what might happen with the Islanders, actually, most likely what will happen, mm-hmm. let's say it's a trade for Mrazek. You're probably going Mrazek for Thomas Greiss plus.
Yeah.
Or for Halak plus. Because you do have to reconcile some of that cap hit.
Right, so. Yeah. And I think Halak makes the most sense if something's going bad,
sure,
for sure.
Sure.
But then other names you could throw out, you could throw Chad Johnson's name out there. John Gillies, Giles, I don't even really know how to pronounce that, from Calgary. Uh-huh. Is, you know, when Mike Smith comes back, he's still day-to-day right now. I'm not sure what his status is as of this show.
I just don't see a playoff team trading a backup goalie at this point. I don't think it would really make sense for them. But Ottawa and Craig Anderson.
Yeah, you could throw his name out there too. Absolutely.
Now, I wonder, does he have a no move on his salary? Because
let's go to our friends at CapFriendly.
CapFriendly.com. We'll pull that up. We'll check on Craig Anderson. And, it's, you know, Vancouver, they're, Markstrom, what does he have left on his deal? When I look at a team like Vancouver and they're trying to be good, but they're also trying to be bad all at the same time. Apparently going to re-sign Gudbranson. They're close to re-signing him, which is kind of mind-boggling. Why? Like, why? If he wants to play there, trade him and then bring him back.
Yeah, you could do that.
Unless you're afraid that he's going to go somewhere and go, oh, this is what it's like to be on a good team. Because, I mean, really, if you think Gudbranson went from a bad Florida team to... I'd say more, not a bad Florida team, a mediocre Florida team to a mediocre Vancouver team.
That's fair. Yeah. And
Vancouver did beat Boston 6-1 in their last game.
They did put a thumping on them. There's no doubt about it. Markstrom's got a couple years left at 3.66. But another guy on that team who could be a trade candidate, Anders Nielsen, he's got one more year at $2.5 million. So a team that maybe could find a spot for him in a backup role next season wouldn't be a bad fit. And I think, again, like a team like the Islanders could be a potential good fit for them, because they're going to, you know, lose a Locke's contract. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's hard not to look at the Islanders and go, how do you not make a move for a goaltender?
And it's funny, because as long as I thought, as you know, from the beginning of the season, I thought that was going to be the most likely landing spot for Mrazek. But from what I'm hearing now, over the weekend, the Red Wings shot down a third-round draft pick from the Flyers to bring Mrazek over there, because right now Brian Elliott's going to be out 5 more weeks. And then this Sunday game against the Rangers, Neuwirth went down in the middle of the second period. So now you got to think, how much can they rely on Lyon in that? They're going to start, apparently talks are still going on, but I think now they're going to be pressing a little bit harder with Detroit to try to bring Mrazek over, or even somebody else at this point.
Yeah, would you give up a second round pick for Mrazek?
Well, so here's the thing about that. He picked the best time for the Red Wings to get hot. And Mrazek in his last 10 games has a .935 save percentage.
Whew.
So for a team I mean, don't get me wrong, Mrazek's been inconsistent throughout his career, but he's hot at the right time.
Yes, there has been a couple half seasons where he's been really hot. I mean, looking at the standings, and you go, Philadelphia lost 10 games in a row at one point, yet they're third in this division.
Yeah, that's so impressive.
Pittsburgh was out of it, and they're in it. They're second. Right now, the way the Metro stacks up, this is exactly what, you know, you remember it being in like 2010.
Yeah, absolutely.
Washington on top.
I love that.
Pittsburgh 2, Philly 3.
Yeah.
And then you have New Jersey is next. And
I remember a playoff series against Giroux and Crosby just going hard at each other. That was just great to watch. Now, for Philly and Pittsburgh getting back in it in the division, do you think that's more to the play of how well they've been, or how bad a team like Columbus or New Jersey has sort of fallen off a little bit more?
Well, I think that some of it is due to the fact that Obviously, the Flyers are a much improved team. I don't think that we expected Giroux to have such a resurgence, and he looks excellent on the wing.
Yeah,
I think that Yuri Lehterä scored his first goal of the year.
I couldn't believe
it. So I mean, shoot, there you go. So that's 1 to 25. How many goals does Braden Schenn have?
I know.
He's got 20, right?
He's close to 30, that's for sure. And Nolan Patrick's actually starting to look like a decent player now, too.
Yeah, I think he scored it. I actually, when he scored the other night and I looked, I said, he only has 6 goals?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of shit. But he's buried there on that third line anyways.
Yeah, you just, you know, it doesn't, to me, okay, you're buried on the third line. I mean, it's interesting that so many rookies have such great success quickly. And it doesn't matter if they're on the third line. Or you would actually think, oh, he's getting some sheltered minutes. So he should be able to perform better, you know?
You would think
so. He doesn't have to play against the same kind of guys. I'm trying to pull up on his ice time. Yeah, he's only getting 12 minutes and 50 seconds a game worth of ice time.
Clearly he's not even getting a lot of power play or any of that time. But
no, but I mean, he also, I'm not sure who he plays with on a regular basis, but I mean, he's starting 52.5% of the time in the offensive zone, yet his Corsi is a 46.6. So clearly not getting the job done, but my guess is that has a little more to do with who he's playing with. So
let's pull it up.
I don't like to read in to every player's rookie season. Like, yeah, okay, Nico Hischier, he's having a pretty good rookie season, but he's playing with Taylor Hall.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt much.
And Taylor Hall's having an MVP-worthy season almost.
Yeah, well, against the Rangers, Nolan Patrick's playing with Voracek and Simmons most of the time, so you think he would be performing a little better.
But yeah, now I don't think that he hasn't been all season, though.
No.
Right, so, yeah, I think that, and Nolan Patrick will, I'm sure he'll end up being decent anyways, but
yeah,
his usage just seems a little strange. My guess is coaching in Philadelphia is really sheltering him. So you never know. Sometimes a guy has a so-so regular season and they shelter him, and then playoffs come and new season shows up.
Yeah. Bobby Ryan, a la last year.
Yeah. Oh, well, Bobby Ryan's that was a last hurrah, I think, for Bobby
Ryan. I think so, too.
Okay, so you mentioned Columbus, and their free fall, 2-6-2 in their last 10 games. What's happening with them? What is the deal? They were first place in that division, and all seemed to be going decent. I know that there were rumblings of, okay, you know, this team is really benefiting from a high PDO, which, if you don't know what PDO is, it's your goalie save percentage plus your shooting percentage. And when both of those are extremely high, it generally indicates that you're getting lucky, that, you know, you're scoring on way more shots than you should, and your goalie is having more fortune than usual. And now, granted, they do have the best goalie in the world, Bobrovsky, so
yeah,
of course your save percentage is going to be a little higher than the average anyways. This team just cannot score.
No, and that's the biggest issue for them, is trying to find the back of the net, and that's why you keep hearing rumblings of Rick Nash returning to Columbus and things of that nature, because you look at their goals for, I think it's like around 155 or
157
something.
157 is what they have.
Terrible. And teams in the wild card spot, minus Carolina, are pretty much 20 or 30 goals more than they are for their goals for over the course of the year.
Yep. To give you an idea, and Columbus really hasn't been hampered that much by injury.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same amount of goals as the Vancouver Canucks, who are without Bo Horvat and Vertanen and Edler. They've been without some key guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's,
well, I mean, prime example is a guy like Cam Atkinson, who's a perennial 30-goal scorer for him the last 4 seasons.
Yeah.
He's only put up 10 so far this season.
Yeah. And you know, you can, a guy who scores 30 a couple times, you go, okay, probably eventually he'll be more like a 22 to 26 kind of goal scorer. But you didn't expect him to only have 15 by the end of the year.
Yeah, they got two guys that seem that are on pace for 20 goals or more right now, with Josh Anderson with 17 and Panarin at 16 goals right now. and everybody else is sitting right around 10, 12 goals.
You know, it is interesting about what you said about how is Philadelphia's resurgence more to do with Philadelphia or more to do with the teams around them?
Yeah.
And the more you look at it, you go, okay, Philly, 6-2-2 in their last 10. That's a very good record in your last 10. Mm-hmm. New Jersey, 6-4. They've actually won 4 in a row. So they bounced back.
Crawling back in.
The last time we had talked about, yeah, they were on the verge. But then you have Carolina, who's 4-4-2 in their last 10, but they've managed to hang on to their playoff spot. Islanders, 4-5-1. Columbus, 2-6-2. Rangers, 2-8-0. So there's your teams fighting for the last wild card spot. And the best record in the last 10 games is Carolina at 4-4-2.
Yeah, and if they're not careful, Florida is going to crawl back into this with games at hand.
Florida's 6 points back with four. If they win all their games, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is crazy.
We've been I've been saying it. I said it like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
You did.
Watch out for the Panthers. They're the one team, when you look at these teams, that you go, okay, they have that first line that can do some damage.
Absolutely.
If I'm the Panthers, what do you look for at the deadline if you're the Panthers?
You want some depth scoring, I think, a little bit more.
But do you want, okay, like, they wouldn't bring in Vanek because that was a disaster brought him in last year. But a player like Vanek, to me, doesn't go to Florida. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of player you're looking for. I think you're looking for a player who's going to be there. But if you can acquire them at the deadline, great. That's where I think actually Florida has a, if they were to put together a decent package for Pacioretty, it would make a lot of sense for them because Pacioretty would be there for another year. And Florida lost a lot of depth when they lost Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. And so they need to start revamping, not just with prospects. Like this Florida team, how much longer can they burn through these years of Huberdeau and Barkov? They need to find players that can come in and play now. Pacioretty would be a great fit in Florida, I think. Who's other guys that come to mind? I mean, Ottawa's got, it seems like Hoffman. Everybody's available. Hoffman, Brassard.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all those guys. But I don't think a rental would be right for them. They need somebody who can stick around because rentals just don't seem to stay in Florida very often.
Well, I mean, I don't hate where your mind's at. I think it's a good idea.
How about think about an Evander Kane in Florida. Think Evander Kane played in Winnipeg where there was a very big spotlight on him and he struggled. He hated it there. I know from pretty much everything, he wanted out more than anything. He goes to Buffalo, doesn't have much success, and I'd say that there's still quite a bit of fanfare in Buffalo, as undesirable as a place as it seems to be, at least like in my head. I think that Buffalo does have a good hockey market and their fans do care, whereas in Florida, there'll be no pressure on that guy. I think that he would benefit greatly from being on a team like Florida. He could play on the second line. He could play with Vinny Trocheck. And suddenly you've got yourself a top six in forwards of Barkov, Huberdeau, Trocheck, Kane, and then you've got Dadonov on the other wing, and then whoever you want to slide up into the top six rotating out. But then Trocheck doesn't have to play with, what's his name?
Radim Vrbata.
Well, Vrbata is usable, but no, he's been playing with, I cannot think of his name. It's going to piss me off, but he's been playing with guys who shouldn't really be on a lot of teams' fourth line. But Trocheck's still been performing
well. Colton Seaver, Derek McKenzie.
Yeah.
Jamie McGinn,
that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Jamie McGinn. No, nothing against Jamie McGinn, but so Florida definitely, they have a shot. They have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs.
I'll tell you who's a name that comes to mind that I think would absolutely be a cheap rental guy to have in there who would provide them with good depth in the back end. I this name keeps popping in my head every time I see Florida is Jack Johnson out of Columbus.
Yeah, and Jack Johnson maybe could
use a fresh start.
Sign there, yeah, and have no one paying attention to him down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would probably get some top 4 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's
could add a little bit to their power play. And
yeah, well, let's take over as the Florida general manager.
Absolutely, that would be fun.
Florida. I mean, Florida's all over the place. We don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, Mark Fizik. I don't know if I want him in my top four pairing.
Merritt Pizik.
Yeah, Pizik.
Yeah. Yeah, they need some help. But hey, they're clawing their way back. But okay, so they got trounced by Winnipeg, and hopefully they get trounced by Toronto tomorrow.
Speaking of Toronto.
Speaking of Toronto.
Please talk to me about Austin Matthews and his late heroics.
Dude, actually, it's funny. I was watching that game. So if you weren't watching it, the Red Wings scored in the first period.
Yeah.
And on the power play, and a nice tip by Mantha. And Mantha with 20 goals.
Yeah.
He's definitely panned out. There was actually a time where there was a lot of talk about Dion Phaneuf going to the Wings for Anthony Mantha.
Really?
And the Wings did not want to trade Mantha. And they wouldn't do it. So
now guys that can score with size like that are rare.
Thank God that they didn't do that.
Thank goodness.
Thank God. when they scored, I remember I was watching with my girlfriend and I said, it's fine. I had no reaction to it. I was like, oh, that was a nice goal. Mm-hmm. It's fine. We'll score. I'm not worried about scoring. And then we got two goals, and the Leafs got two goals in 18 seconds.
Oh, that was crazy.
So there was that. And then really it was kind of, I'd say that the Leafs had the better of them in the second period. Mm-hmm. Third period came, and both teams had played the night before. So a lot of times when that happens, you get, you know, one team plays better in one period, and the next period the other team is able to kind of mount a little bit of a resurgence, which is exactly what the Wings did.
Yeah.
And they were able to play really well, especially probably the middle part of that third period. They controlled a lot of the play, and they managed to tie the game up. And, I actually, maybe 5 or 6 minutes before Matthews scored, mm-hmm. I actually was saying, I said, yeah, Matthews just doesn't look like he's all that engaged right now. And that doesn't mean that he wasn't, but it just, he had given the puck away a couple times in the offensive zone, and he kind of was getting trapped. Like, he would have the puck, and a lot of times where you'd see him make a nice move or dish the puck off easily, he was just kind of getting overtaken, and I was like, what's going on? And then, of course, he scored unreal goal.
You got to hand it to, who was that, Marner that fed him the puck?
It was Nylander.
Nylander, that's it, yeah. You got to hand it to him for not trying to rip it right away, but having the patience to just hold on to it, just an extra second to dish that out.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
You know, I think the thing that made me most angry watching that game... Mm-hmm. is having to listen to Mickey Redmond.
Oh, I cannot stand him.
He is, and I've never been a big fan. I know that he's a big wing slappy, and a lot of Wings fans like him because he just pumps the Wings.
He's almost like an institution because he's been around for 30 years.
Right, and I understand why. I mean, if you know anything about why local broadcasters, like who employs local broadcasters, mm-hmm. he's actually a Red Wings employee. He's not a Fox Sports employee.
Right.
He is an employee of the Red Wings, as is Ken Daniels. And as that employee, then, of course, a station like Fox Sports pays the Red Wings money to be able to broadcast their games. The Wings go, okay, great. Here's who the broadcasters are.
Yeah.
And they go, okay. I'm sure that there's a little bit of, you know, if they were awful and getting bad ratings, they'd go, well, you guys need a new guy or we're going to drop out. But obviously mm-hmm. that hasn't happened. And it rarely does. I think with teams like the Leafs or the Wings or the Bruins, you don't just drop an announcer. It rarely happens.
Right, Larry Murphy.
Right. Well, yeah. He was
a color commentator.
Analyst color, yeah. Whenever Mickey Redmond couldn't make it or something.
Right.
Whenever he was a little stupor.
Tipsy. But, as he likes to put it, the ginger ale.
I honestly don't mind a little bit of Homer-ness, mm-hmm. but he's just downright whiny. And he is.
And he constantly complains about how the game is not like it was 40 years ago. And every time I'm like, okay,
that was a trip. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, we got it. Oh, sure, that's a slash. All right. The game these days.
Yeah, I can't stand it. That would have been a call, or that would have been let go in my day. And I'm thinking the whole time, just stop talking.
When it's something that actually makes, when you know, if a huge hit happens.
Yes.
And it, there's a question about whether he hit him in the head. Okay, fine. Feel free to say, you know, back in my day, we wouldn't have even worried about this. Mm-hmm. We would have just, guy would have either gone in the locker room or kept playing. That's fine. If that's your opinion, it's stupid. You're stupid if that's the way you think that, oh, who cares? A guy got smoked in the head. Back in my day, people were fine. No, back in your day, people became really depressed and then they killed themselves 15 years later.
Well, they didn't know any better. Yeah.
Right. So. Right. Which is fine. Then most people didn't know any better.
Right.
The league knew better. They tried to hide it forever.
Yeah.
But yes, they didn't know any better. And it's fine to be like, yeah, I mean, back in my day, if you hit a guy like that, that was, you were praised. And I mean, honestly, it was fun. Like, it's fun to go watch those hits.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There has to be a semblance of you that goes, all right. Like, yeah, I understand why that kind of hit can't happen anymore because we don't want people to die later on. We don't want people to have health complications.
You don't want Mark Savard where your career is cut short because of too many concussions.
Right.
When you're talented players.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even like a Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby's career was in jeopardy, which imagine if that ended him.
Wow. Ooh. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Or if he rushed back and became like an Eric Lindros. And all we had was Crosby. He won the one cup, and he was really good when he was younger. But concussions got the better of him.
As much as I hate Crosby playing against him because he's so good, you have to have those guys on the ice because they just make the game that much better. And to not have a guy like that on the ice would be terrible because we're just being stupid about concussions.
Right. Yeah. No, man. Mickey Redmond, there's like some level of ignorance with him. That you're like, dude, you've been broadcasting hockey longer than I've been alive. And I'm not that young.
Right.
31, but still. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time, and why do I feel like I know more about hockey than you do?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I know more about playing the game, but when it comes to actually talking about it, it's just, dude, I don't want to hear you whine. Break down the play. Now, I'll be honest. Sometimes when he breaks down the play and he goes, hey, look when this happened. And look when you had this and you had this over here. And I go, oh, okay. Like, that's the kind of analysis I want. The problem is that you don't really get that from him very often. And when he does, a lot of times you're like, okay, thanks for that. It was kind of useless. But there was, what team was I watching? I think I was watching a Leafs game, and I had to watch the other team's stream. You know, it was on NHL Network or something.
Right.
But it was the Tampa Bay game, actually.
Oh, okay.
Which Tampa Bay, I'm not sure what the play-by-play, but the color guy's Brian Engblom.
Yeah.
Used to be ESPN's guy. And they were breaking down things that you just don't really see very often. And it made me very happy. Like, I was like, oh, you're actually showing, like, helping people understand the cycle and understand why players are positioned a certain way, like with their feet.
Yeah.
It's like, that's cool. Like, that's the kind of stuff that people love about football, is when you're able to explain the X's and O's and why a guy turned out the right way and how. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that there's so much interesting technical things that hockey's so freaking fast that you miss. Hey, unless you have the ability to slow it down, look at it, and then break it down yourself, which, I mean, I guess we can all rewind it and slow it down, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that I want to see. I want to see, you know, what happens in the trenches, and you be able to point out something small and minute on the bigger stage, but in that small little battle, why it ended up going the way that it went. I just think that that's the kind of analysis that we need in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we have this attitude that, like, well, you know, the average hockey fan either doesn't care or they don't know and it doesn't matter, so let's not focus on that. But the average football fan, I don't think really cares necessarily about, oh, you know, why are they, like, you hear people who don't know football well, like, well, it just seems like they run into the pile all the time. But if you actually watch a game and you listen, they do explain, you know, why they're, what holes they're trying to go for, and they create holes for each other, and why a guy blocks a certain way and blocks his strong side, his weak side. They explain it because they want people to understand it.
Yeah.
Because when you understand it, that's when it's very fun to watch.
Absolutely.
And that I just feel like hockey misses that. They miss the technical, and then they're horrible at telling stories. Like, basketball, I feel like, is one giant story. It's like a level down from wrestling. Like, wow. Of course, wrestling is the ultimate story sport, right? But we don't really get the same kind of, like, people be like, storyline, this player used to play for this team 3 years ago. There's still bad blood. And it's like, nah, I don't really care about that in this moment. But hey, there's got to be a better way to create stories in hockey.
Yeah.
I know it's a long season, but.
Well, I would sure appreciate it. I mean, I know when I watch, like, for instance, like you mentioned football, right? I love it. I have a buddy of mine who was a high school coach. And when he and I start talking about the game, he'll go into detail about the second level is doing this and the third level is doing this. And like first time he said it, I'm like, wait, hold on. What do you mean by second level and third level when he's talking about linebackers and safeties and breaking it down that way? It's interesting because you start picking up. And then the next time you watch the game, you understand what they're doing a lot more and you enjoy that. So again, as a hockey fan, if somebody would, you know, explain to me why the D-man is pinching over here on this side versus, you know, not playing this side, or why they're cycling the puck around the boards and yada, 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 you know, I mean,
right, just be right. Yeah. Sometimes you can, I think that you can explain set plays a little better. Yeah. I mean, you can, if you're watching for them and you understand, you know, why a team throws it up the boards or why they're, when forwards leave the zone, why they sit at the blue line or why they move to center, and you can see different teams have different strategies on how they get it out of the zone, but they don't talk about that.
Right. Yeah. I would love to hear announcers talk about, oh, you know, Tampa Bay's playing one forward up and four deep or four guys back on the blue line for a reason, or, you know, why they're playing, you know, two up and three back and,
right.
You know, all that fun stuff. But
yeah, well, maybe the solution is to stream games, but broadcast them ourselves. Do play by play for games.
Yes.
I don't think that's legal, but...
You know what? I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and one of the funnest things I did there is they have a booth where you can go in and pretend to be a sports announcer.
Yes, that is actually so very great. Fun. And they have the classic clips, and you record. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Loved it.
I have done that several times.
Every time somebody scored a goal, I got my high-pitched voice, "Scores!" Just threw it out.
Like Ken Cal?
Yes, absolutely. Terrible, but it was so much fun.
I wonder what that high-pitched noise is going to sound like when people are actually listening to this.
It's going to scare some people.
Yeah, it might. That's okay.
Good.
We aimed to please.
You're in the office right now listening to this. I want you to jump out of your seat when that happens. Or I hope you did.
Yeah.
So
rewind it and jump out of your seat, monkey. Well, is there anything else that you want to toss out there? Anything else you're hearing? Anything else you... you know, we just maybe ranted about broadcasters for...
No, and I'm okay with that.
So.
I'm just interested and excited. I don't think we're going to get a ton of blockbuster trades, but I love the deadline. I do. Just because, again, in my mind, I love playing GM and thinking, well, if I was, you know, the Ottawa Senators, I would take, you know, this pick and this pick for Hoffman and yada, yada, yada. So... I do like that, but what about maybe you want to talk about some games coming up?
Yeah,
this week?
Yeah. Let's do it. Well, you know, Tuesday, which I mean, all you will be listening to this most likely on a Tuesday, February 20th. Big game: Devils and Blue Jackets. Devils need to keep on winning, but the Blue Jackets desperately need a win, and this game is in New Jersey. If the Blue Jackets lose again, they're just going to fall further and further and further. And also, got to love Lightning Capitals. Top two teams in the Metro and the Atlantic. That's happening on Tuesday. So, got a couple big games there. Maybe a conference final preview.
Okay. Yeah.
If they finished where they were, they could potentially play in the conference finals. Any other games on Tuesday catch your eye, or Wednesday, or...
Yeah, Wednesday. I'm very much interested if my thing will ever load here. Not because they're both playing well, but they're both bottom teams with Chicago and Ottawa. I just want to see that scrap fight, especially because Blackhawks came out and had just a big blowout win here lately. So,
well, interestingly enough, they're on NBC. Are they on NBC? No. NBC Sports Network. Yeah,
NBC. Yeah.
So is that their, like, rivalry game?
That's their Wednesday night rivalry game, yeah.
It's a huge rivalry between the Senators and the Blackhawks. They've played each other 9 times the last 15 years.
Yeah,
that's a little weird. Thursday, I definitely can, you know, any Blue Jackets game at this point is interesting to me, because if the free fall continues, what do you do? You have to fire John Tortorella, right? Like, there's the experiment, you would say,
it's run its course.
Yeah. And I don't know. They're defensively, they're so good. I mean, with Werenski and Jones back there, they're just set. But offensively, they just cannot get anything going. And I mean, Panarin leads their team with, 49 points. But
yeah,
other than that, there just has not been the same kind of production. So I'm wondering if the Blue Jackets have to look to trade, you know, trade out. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to. I mean, they obviously, they could trade for a guy like Pacioretty, who may be a good fit in Columbus, but, or a Hoffman would be a great fit in Columbus. They just need a goal scorer.
They do.
I don't think that they've traded for an actual pure goal scorer. Like, Panarin was supposed to be, I guess, but he's kind of turned into an assist man, not playing with Kane.
He fed the puck to Kane. So Thursday night, though, I'm kind of excited to watch the Islanders and Maple Leafs, a couple high-scoring teams.
Yes.
So
yes, could be a good solid 8-6 game in that one. Also, just an FYI, the Coyotes have won 4 in a row.
Yeah, they've been hot lately. And Ranta's looked good.
Yes, and yes, just, Ranta has looked good. Clayton Keller leads the team in goals, points, and assists. So
always a plus.
He's the team. We'll see what Phoenix or what Arizona ends up doing at the deadline. But what's the actual day of the deadline? The actual day is, you know, it's February 26th. So we've got 1 week today. So next Monday, we'll be breaking down the deadline,
the trades.
We've got one more show before then.
Noon, right? Or is it 3 o'clock?
3 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't remember that.
I need you to take off work so we can do a live
show
for 8 hours. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Just sit around.
Yeah, so...
what's new?
Remember back when Wade Belak got traded? yeah, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
I want to trade for Hal Gill.
Hal Gill.
Who was the guy that played for the most teams... out of any player, what was his name? Scott or
wasn't it like 11 teams?
He played for 14. Mike Sullivan,
yes,
played for like 14 teams, I think. And I remember there was he got traded at the trade deadline, and then he signed with a different team in the summer. So he was playing for whoever it was. Traded at the deadline, signed with a new team in the summer, was traded at the next deadline. Played for 4 teams in a year.
Vanek, right there.
Did Vanek do the same thing?
Well, he's about to.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're
Wings, right. Went to Florida, signed with Vancouver, and he'll most likely be traded.
Yep.
So,
yep. And he's teams. And he was on the Islanders and the Sabres. So
yes.
He'll be on 6 teams by that
and
point.
And Montreal.
Oh, he was on Montreal, wasn't he? All right.
So he's.
I don't think anybody will hit that 14.
No, not at all.
But
I think Vanek, his next contract, he's going to push for a couple years so he doesn't have to go anywhere, but we'll see.
We shall indeed see. It is. It's not to be confused with Mike Sullivan, who
the hockey coach,
who now is the coach. Maybe it wasn't Mike Sullivan who played for the most teams.
Thank you, Google, for answering all of our questions.
Mike Sillinger.
Sillinger.
Yes, Mike Sillinger. That's my fault. He was traded 9 times.
Who?
And he played for 12 teams.
Wow.
Traded 9 times. What a life. But yeah, Mike Sillinger. There you go. Former Red Wing.
Yeah, I do remember he played for the Wings minor, the Anirondack Red Wings, which
is
always pretty funny. Just like I always think of the Detroit Vipers.
Yeah.
Good old.
The IHL.
Yes.
What a league. All right, well, that is our show. We will be back, and our next show later in the week, Thursday, will be very heavy into the deadline. Really, our last show before all the trades happen. So
yeah,
we'll be breaking that down very heavy. If you have questions or you want to toss out some predictions at OT Hockey Talk on Twitter, you can email us at feedback@OTHockeyTalk.com, or just head to OTHockeyTalk.com and comment on one of our stories, and we'll toss you into our next episode.
All smart things. Well said.
All smart things. Well, on that smart thing, we'll talk to you soon.